So I can just check the levels just to start with there, just name and current title for now, it seems.
Yeah, Peter Robinson, still at this moment for a while, leader of the Democratic Unionist Party.
Perfect. So, First Minister, tell us, why have you decided to step down and go into retirement right now?
Well, it is very difficult to find an appropriate moment to step down after so many years in politics. I had in 2011 suggested to close colleagues that it was the right time to stand down, but I was persuaded to stay on. Again, after the Westminster election, I determined that I wouldn't stand again for the Assembly. And I announced that to the party officers and indicated that they needed to take that into their calculations and forward planning. So there was always a point before the Assembly election when I had to stand down. They had asked me to stay on to try and stabilise the Assembly and Executive. We managed to get that agreement through earlier this week. And I want to give a new leader an opportunity to settle in before the Assembly election comes around. So this seemed to be the right time to make the announcement, and somewhere around the turn of the year for the actual changeover to take place.
There's been a lot of talk among politicians today about what your legacy will be. What do you think your legacy will be yourself?
Well, depending on where people's priorities are, they'll look at different issues. For people in Northern Ireland, if you look at issues like the devolution of policing and justice, at a time when everyone thought that it would be impossible for us to get agreement within a devolved institution which had this sort of divisions and breadth of interests in it that ours has, yet we managed to get the devolution agreed. Being able to get the decisions through earlier this week, where every party in Northern Ireland is now signed up to ending paramilitarism and closing down paramilitary structures, where everyone is agreed that ministers and members need to sign a pledge which indicates that they support exclusively peaceful and democratic means, ending paramilitary organisations and support for the peace and for the police and the rule of law. The fact that we have set up a task force to deal with paramilitary criminality, those are all major steps at a more local level. Obviously, getting back East Belfast was important to me. Again, because of my interest in the economy, the fact that we have now been able to agree a lower level of corporation tax for Northern Ireland and a date when that will commence, that's an important factor as well.
As First Minister, you come in for a lot of criticism over the years. A lot of it can become very personal very quickly. How do you deal with that as kind of an individual and not let that affect you on a day-to-day basis?
Well, this is a rough trade. There's no question about that. And if you're a sensitive individual, then you should look for some other form of employment. Yes, you have the crosshairs immediately on your forehead as soon as you take up a role as any minister, but particularly as First Minister. And there is a tendency with some people that rather than give support to people who have significant pressures and problems to resolve, they try and tear them down. That's something you have to live with. But when you go out and about, you'll find that the real people that you meet are very different from the characters of such that can be referred to that you'll find on social media.
What's been the most difficult part of being First Minister in the last few years?
Well, I think the fear that we were at the precipice over the last couple of years, that the Assembly could have collapsed, that we would have been back to direct rule, and that in itself would have created the kind of vacuum that could have taken us back to the dark and bad old days. So you always feel that you have that responsibility in the post to try and lead away from that kind of situation. So that is a pressure and a tension that goes with the job.
When you sit in 5-10 years' time and look back, is there any particular area where you might have a small regret that you didn't do something as well as you possibly could have?
No, I'm not going to live a life of regrets. I know that while not always successful in getting things done or getting things done as fast as I would have liked, that we always tried our very best to do it. And Really, if you can walk away knowing that you did your best, well, even if some people don't think that that was good enough, at least you'll go away with a clear conscience.
What about your relationship with Martin McGuinness? He's described you as a close friend today. Obviously, at times that's been difficult as well, I assume.
Well, you can't work as closely as we have for the length of time that we have without building up a friendship. And although there are many things that we will find ourselves on different sides of the issue, we have a lot of common interests. We're both avid sports supporters and spectators, and we have that common interest. He's given me the offer to take me out and teach me to fish. It's not exactly at the top of the list of things that I want to do in my retirement, but I very much appreciate the offer. When you consider just how different we are, and you consider, how we both entered into politics. I came into politics because the IRA killed a friend of mine. He came in through a very Republican route, and the fact that we have been able for 7.5 years to keep an executive and an assembly in existence, I think says something about our determination and our willingness to work with each other.
And for the DUP party conference this weekend, what's next in terms of that? Speculation about some sort of joint leadership across Westminster and First Minister here with Arlene Foster, possibly?
Well, those are the issues that the electoral college of the party will decide. If they choose someone who comes from within the Assembly's ranks, then it is likely that that person, but not necessarily the case, that that person would want to also be the First Minister. If they choose someone from outside the Assembly ranks, then the role will be split. So it's entirely a matter for the Electoral College, and they'll determine that on the basis of the interest that is shown in taking over that responsibility.
And just finally, I'm sure there's a standout moment or something you'll always remember from your time as First Minister and leader of DUP. Is there something you can think of that kind of stands out?
Well, I think when you're in politics, it is always the political highs that will stand out. And I don't think anybody could take away the fact that the political high for me was the 2011 Assembly election, where the party had its best performance ever, returning 38 Assembly members. But I happen to be one of those who won't look back and say, I don't want anybody to beat my record. I'll be at the edge of the seat, cheering on whoever comes after me, and hoping that they can improve on it. And, I don't believe it is a high watermark for the party. I think the party can go on and still do better.
And just lastly, I forgot to ask you earlier on, your health obviously as well has played part of an impact into this decision.
No, my decision to stand down was taken at the beginning of May after the Westminster election, some weeks before the health scare. If the health scare had occurred first, it would have been one of the factors I would have had to have taken into consideration. But the decision had already been taken at that stage. And this is a grueling job. There's no question about it. Nobody is going to give you any quarter because you have health problems in this job. You have to just suck it in. That's what I've attempted to do. And I don't use my health circumstances as a reason. I'm doing it because I believe it is the right time for me to go and to allow someone from the next generation to take over with, I hope, greater energy and with new ideas.